That's the only way I can describe this morning. Sure, got out of my bed and I was like, this can't be. This is what I signed up for. Holy hell in a handbasket. Shit, it was cold. Anyway, we're starting our day, whether you like it or not, whether we like it or not, or whether the world likes it or not. And we're not going to let some weather get us down. Right, Jack?
Not at all. It's going to take a bit more than some freezing weather to stop us.
Damn straight. Jack, yes, Mutante. You did your first show yesterday. You can give that a plug. How did that go? Not your first show, but your first new show that doing on a Tuesday. By the way, this is good for those people who are bitching and moaning that we don't do a live show here on a Tuesday anymore. Mm. Well, we got something for you.
Yeah, it's called The Pod, and it kicked off yesterday. So we do the show essentially from 6 until 8.
Very good.
And listen, I had a very interesting conversation with a lady called Gogo Dineo.
Is she one of the...
Yes.
The Gogos.
She's one of those spiritually inclined people. So we didn't, you know, go into it in a lengthy conversation, but the little that we did have kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Uh-oh. But I actually want to have her in studio this time around so that we can have a genuine back and forth. But, you know, she gave me a lot of insight. But I think my favorite part about the show yesterday was the conversation I had with Mr. Ernst van Sail. Mm-hmm.
Like, who dat?
He's the HR from, no, PR manager from AfriForum.
I was going to say they have an HR. Okay, so AfriForum have a PR department. Yes. And he's the guy.
He's the guy. Yeah. And listen, the conscious caracal, as he calls himself on
I think I follow him.
Yeah, man.
I didn't know that was him.
Yeah, it's him. He's got a lot of really great things to tell the world about. And I'm all for it, man. I love it when people get off their ass and do some positive stuff.
Especially when they're brave enough to say stuff that is unpopular online, right?
Exactly. And I feel like 2024 is the year where we are supposed to reacquaint ourselves with the truth, no matter how uncomfortable it is.
Well, I mean, we don't have to talk so much politics because the elections are over. Mm. But of course, the first parliament of this new government that we've all gone to the polls and elected goes ahead on Friday.
Yep.
Despite all MK parties' desires to stop it from going ahead. We'll see if it happens or not. But man, has X become like vicious and nasty and just divisive? Like,
wait, it's become that?
No. I think it's ramped up because.
Oh, okay.
And here's the reason: like, you can tell the more passionate and angry and upset people are online, the more emotional. Because there's this thing going on called emotivism. There was a brilliant book written by, forget the guy's name, but it's called emotivism, and it's basically about how the powers that be or the powers that pay are intent on making us less intelligent and more emotional.
Yeah.
And that's how they maintain control of us. So if you go online now and you see a bunch of people talking about, South Africa's ruined, we're on our way down the toilet, everything's falling apart, and you hear other people going, The MK is the only way because the ANC and the DA together is going to bring back apartheid. And you just see these like really dumb, very emotional arguments.
Yeah.
So what it is it's partly that those people are easily manipulated and they're being manipulated by political parties, by money that's paid to them to be influencers, micro influencers. But it's like they haven't sat down and thought these things through. So they're also appealing on from their point of view to the rest of us to be emotive as well. And you don't have to get into it. Like, you don't.
Yeah, you're
like, right. I saw this white dude I follow the other day. He was going, oh, there's so much racism online and all this stuff. And I said to him, look, calm down. You don't have to react to this stuff.
You really don't.
It's not real. We know it's the tiniest minority of people who are doing this. You don't have to be especially sensitive or prickly or react emotionally, because then kind of they win, whoever they are.
Yeah.
Don't fall for it. So, you know, politics is just a game. And they're going to carry on playing this game after Friday. They've been playing it before Friday. They're going to do it in the halls of power forever and a day.
Mm.
If you're going to base your life or your happiness on the outcome of an election or which political party gets which cabinet post, or you're worried about like things like the some party bringing back apartheid, I mean, first of all, you are unhinged. You don't know your history
at all.
But second of all, you're allowing yourself to be manipulated. Like there's a happy place that you can live in that doesn't involve you having to be pulled into every ugly argument. Just stay away from it.
Here's a revolutionary idea.
Yeah.
Lock your phone.
Yeah. Well,
put it down.
Exactly. It's like when a child's having a tantrum, you take away their toys.
Yeah, that's it.
You lock them in a room and you say, now, until you behave, you're not getting your toys again.
I mean,
train yourself to switch your phone off. That's a good idea.
It really is that simple. It's not that hard.
Well, there's so much going on in the world at the moment. I've got the most awesome and hilarious clips for you to look at just now, Jack. I want you to see these. I want to hear everybody's reaction
and,
to this
and
stuff
listen,
too.
I'm going to hold you to it. Before the show started, Gareth guaranteed that these clips will not piss me off.
Well, you were very funny last week. Like all the rants that you went down. It was just everywhere we turned, Jack found a reason to get furious, which was funny.
I needed to let it go. I just needed to let it go.
Oh, man. Look, to be fair, I also think what made it fun is that you had a sense of humor about all of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you were pissed off and left here like in a tantrum. But
only kids do that.
So a couple of things that we have to get to this morning. First things first, Stephen A. Smith is a commentator in America on TV. He's been a morning show host on television for a while.
Yeah.
Very outspoken guy. He has quite a lot to say about, you know, sport in general, which is great. By the way, we're launching our brand new sports show this week, too. So you're going to get to see Ben's new show with Sandy Leshangase this week for the first time. Brand new.
That promo video is hilarious, by the way.
It's good stuff.
Loved it.
Wait till you see it. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Really, this is going to be the sports show to end all sports shows. But Stephen A. Smith is now going at the WNBA. WNBA, nobody cares because it's like it's women who play basketball. I've got about 3 viewers in the whole world.
Yep.
But those 3 viewers are all trained on this new star.
Caitlin Clark,
who's making all the noise. She is the only reason that anyone's watching. But all the other girls on the WNBA hate her.
Which is stupid.
Yeah, but this is typical of girls. So, ladies, I've got to give you as much shit as we give and get.
Yep.
As guys, we receive our fair share. Don't worry.
Yeah.
You know, it is 2024. We're not living in the patriarchy anymore. But there's no way this would happen in a guy's team. Because guys, if someone on your team gets attacked, you stand up for them.
That's it.
You fight for them. Mm. You back them up.
Yep.
If there's an altercation on the court, like I saw this Caitlin, she got like rammed by another player.
Yeah.
Body slammed, basically. All the other teammates are like,
yep.
Only girls do that.
Yep.
Guys would help their guy.
They would.
They would help their teammate. Women just don't have that gene. They don't do that. And you know, for all the talk of compassion and the gentle sex and all of that stuff, Jesus, women can be horrible to each other.
Yes, they can.
Woo.
Yes, they can.
So is this what he talked about?
Well, he was pointing out the fact that the women's Olympic team has been put together and Caitlin Clark isn't a member of that team.
She's not in it?
No, she's not. And
why?
When you think
why wouldn't
about
they put her in? She's like the superstar. That would be like not including
Michael Jordan or LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the most nonsensical thing ever. And the women that are trying to make the point that, look, she doesn't have the right experience. She hasn't played long enough, bloody, 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 blah.
What?
And it's like,
a
okay,
lot of shit.
Let's look at it from a different perspective, right? On average, WNBA games have an audience of about 4,000 people. Ever since Caitlin Clark joined the WNBA after playing collegiate basketball, they went from 4,000 to 17,000. In fact, they had to change venues
right
in order to accommodate every person that wanted to be.
Like I said, they used to have one view and now they got four.
Exactly. In fact, it's from 1 to now 20, actually. That's how exponential of the growth.
So she's done a good thing.
She's done an unbelievable thing. But people in the States are hating because she's white.
Oh, is that what
it is? I'm going to say it straight up because I can tell.
I heard one of the girls saying something like that when she was interviewed. She's like, I don't like her. She white. And she's straight, which is also a big
problem. Which is another problem.
Because most of the women in the WNBA are lesbians.
Yeah. And all I'm saying is this. When it comes right down to it, give the people what they want to see, okay?
If maybe they want to watch your lesbian black ass.
No,
maybe
I don't.
Maybe they want to see this girl.
Yeah. You know what I mean? They want to watch this blonde girl running around shooting threes like she's Steph Curry. Honestly speaking, I don't watch the WNBA.
No.
I watch the NBA. But Caitlin Clark is the only reason that I'd actually tune into the WNBA.
If they didn't select her because of that.
It's part of the reason.
That's stupid. And if it were going the other way, everyone would be in uproar.
Yeah, it would.
So I will be very surprised if people aren't. It would mean that they have two systems running in opposite directions in their head the whole time, something we call cognitive dissonance.
Yes, sir.
And it's something you see a lot online. You're like, people set up a completely fabricated reality on one side, and then the real reality, the actual way that the world works, sometimes pops its head in and goes, boo. But those people, I mean, if they're in charge of the WNBA, then they deserve to fail. That's all.
It's stupid. Like, if free marketing, just free, let this young girl go to the Olympics, let the rest of the world watch, and then we'll start questioning.
By the way, I
like,
mean,
where does she play?
There can't be a lot of white women in the WNBA.
I don't think there are.
There are. I don't. So then, isn't it diversity to have one in?
Yes, it is.
So these people who use that word diversity all the time, they don't seem to understand it when it goes the other way. They're like, suddenly their brain short circuits. You know, again, we're dealing with not very bright people. What did Donald Trump say? They're not sending their best people. These are very low energy, very low IQ people.
Yep.
I'm afraid that's what it sounds like. It sounds like the WNBA needs new management.
It's just silly, man. And you know what? Like, it's almost, not even almost, it's gotten to the point whereby you come across these things and you genuinely wonder what point they're trying to prove. Like, what's the end game here?
Well, they're not. They don't think that far. They're trying to, for the moment, they're trying to tick boxes. They're trying to please a very loud constituency that make all the noise and don't actually deliver the wins.
I like the fact that you said loud, because it's not
loud. No, it's
not large. It's
a couple of loud people. It's like on X, the way we started the show. Mm-hmm. If you respond to the loudest, you know, there could be a, on your way to work this morning, there could be a homeless person banging on an empty drum on the street corner, making a hell of a racket. They could be high on nyaupe or whatever, and they could be screaming and shouting, could rip their shirt off, take their dick out, whatever. Just because they're loud doesn't mean you have to pay attention to them. Mm-mm. And it doesn't mean their opinion matters. They're still a homeless drug addict on the street corner that you could probably just drive past and get on with your morning.
Yeah.
Might even just provide you with a little entertainment.
In fact, it's advisable that you just drive past.
Well, you're not going to engage, are you?
Of course not. Well, I mean, these idiots are trying to engage.
That's the point. Don't pay. Just, you know what? These loud groups, as many people in politics in South Africa realized just a couple of weeks ago with the election, just because they're loud doesn't mean they're right. Mm-hmm. Just because they think they're right doesn't mean we have to pay attention to them.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry about it. You know, most of the noise that I see coming from, especially politically agitated people online at the moment in this country, is from the people who are probably not likely to be part of the government. That's why they're making a noise.
Yep.
I don't know if you've noticed, the ANC, quiet as church mice at the moment. And when they do say something, it sounds so sensible, no one can really argue with it.
Yeah. The DA, unless it's coming from Figgy.
DA not making a sound. Keeping their heads down because they know anything they say at the moment is going to get them into shit, which is finally some sense has prevailed clearly over there.
Yeah.
IFP, not a sound. Who's making a noise? The EFF, MK, Gayton. Mm. Why? Because they're worried they're going to be left out. And remember, if those three parties that I mentioned at the beginning, the ANC, DA, and IFP, start a coalition of a kind, government of national unity, and they share out the duties and responsibilities of government between them, guess what? Those other parties don't matter anymore because they're all tiny, tiny minorities. They've all got less than, 14% is the highest of them with MK.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do the government things without them. They don't need them. So why would you listen to the homeless drug addict on the street corner if you're driving past in your car to work where you have a job to do?
Yeah.
It's up to you. You make that decision this morning and your life will get better. All right, well, we've got the window seat with travel.co.za coming up in a little bit. And we've got Nicholas Regisford popping by, who is the founder and director of the South African Podcast and Music Festival, which is very exciting. I'm speaking there on Friday.
Yeah, that's coming up this weekend, eh?
Yeah, everybody these days has got a podcast. So good on Nicholas. He's decided he's going to do a day, 2 days actually, that they're doing, where you can meet the people that have done the things. You can hear about how to do your own podcast. You can learn about what works, what doesn't.
Yep.
How to make it make money if you've got enough people listening and watching. So all of that's happening on Friday and Saturday. We thought we'd get Nicholas in today. So he's popping by a little later as well. So Mornay Dupre for travel.co.za and Nicholas Regisford popping by. Plus, I've got a bunch of really, really funny stuff to tell you and to show you this morning. So let's start off with this. What did I send you, James? I even need to check what I sent him, because I sent him so much stuff last night. It's like, no, don't worry, I got it. There's another thing. He's so frightened. I'm going to shit on him every morning. That,
yeah, you know what? I like it when James is uncomfortable.
All right,
have fun skating on thin ice.
Here's a young girl moaning. You're going to love the reason that she's moaning. She is concerned about people who are, they're not able to arrive at work on time. She's one of those people. There's a word for it. Okay? There's a term for this. And she's really upset that people won't accept that she sometimes is late and that it's not her fault. She's suffering from this thing that she'll explain now. And you mustn't get cross with her. And she thinks it's so unfair that no one wants to give her a job.
Look,
because she can't arrive on time.
I haven't seen this thing yet, but from
you're already going to be pissed off.
Yeah, like I don't want to get pissed. Let's see what happens.
All right, play it. Let's all be open-minded about this. All right, let's see if we like her.
So I just got yelled at for asking a very reasonable question. So I'm applying to go somewhere, and I just wanted to know: are there accommodations for people who struggle with time blindness and being on time? You know. And then the person I was with interrupted and acted like I was asking something else. And then when we were done, they actually started yelling at me and saying that accommodations for time blindness doesn't exist. And if you struggle with being on time, you'll never be able to get a job. You know, provided you're trying your absolute best to be there. And then they're like, your stupid generation wants to destroy the workplace. And yeah, I think that a culture where workers are just cut off because they struggle with being on time, when there's other solutions that we can look to. I think that just anybody who thinks it's okay to just treat people like that, yeah, that culture needs to be dismantled. And then I asked that person, how can you feel good about yourself upholding this kind of system? And then to think I'm entitled. No, if people think it's okay to treat others like this, that's entitlement.
All right, so she calls it time blindness. They refer to it as time blindness. She says it's a real thing. She says, you can't blame my generation. And you know what? Frankly, yes, we do want to dismantle the whole system if the system is so unfair and you guys are so unfair that you won't give me a job because I can't arrive on time. I'll hand over to Jack. Go on. What do you say to her?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying not to be angry. I'm really trying not to be. Here's the problem. Like, why should the entire world have to flip and flop and change just because you can't get out of bed on time? Like, what the hell is going on? What is your time blindness?
Time blindness.
No, you're just the lazy shit. That's what it is.
No, she says she's trying really hard. She can't help it. It's this thing she suffers from called time blindness.
No.
Come on.
You look. There's some. Your phone does all of these amazing things, including recording that stupid video. It's got this tiny little thing on it. It's called an alarm. You set it to the time where you need to be up, have enough time to bath and get yourself ready and take on the world. God damn it. Like, it's called an alarm clock. Just use it.
So if she came to you for a job.
Oh, no. No, I wouldn't even bother letting you sit down for an interview. There's punctuality communicates a lot. It means that you take your time and the person's time. Seriously.
Yeah.
And yeah. Here's the problem. What people don't seem to understand is this. Time is literally all we have, okay? Like, as much as we might want to buy all of these material things and fill our lives with a bunch of things, all you really have at the end of the day is time. Because when your time is gone, you're out of here.
Right.
So if you're going to waste my time because you don't know how to use an alarm clock, you and I have got a problem. I'm certainly not going to work with you. I don't want you as a friend. I don't want to hear you complain and bitch and moan about other things either. Okay. Well, like, you can tell this business got a lot of problems besides time.
Yeah, exactly. But I love the way there's this attitude in the world today that if something isn't working for you, it's not you that needs to fix things. It's the whole world that needs to conform to you. Like, that to me is the real sickness here. There may be people who genuinely cannot get their asses out of bed on time. They just can't get anything done. They're always late. Like, every single appointment, they're 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 20 minutes late. There are people like that. We all know people like that. And I feel like that's a real handicap. Because you just don't have discipline.
At all.
But to expect the whole world to change to suit you.
Who are you exactly?
Yeah, like that kind of, there's a word for it, solipsism. It means the sun, putting yourself at the center of the universe, and everything has to revolve around you. And to me, this is, if there's any problem with young people in the world today, it's that. It's like this idea that whatever it is in the world that isn't working for you couldn't possibly be your fault. Mm. It must be that the system should be torn down and we should start again. In other words, dispose of thousands of years of human experience, evolution, trial and error, people starting wars, ending wars, all kinds of stuff happening that you have no respect for because you know better and you're going to arrive on Earth like Jesus and change everything.
And mind you, you haven't been alive that long. I'm not sure we can even trust your experience up until this point. Like, whomst are you? Hmm?
Yeah.
Hey, McGill
says it's his 50th birthday today. I've been listening to Gareth's show for 17 years, 7 on the radio and 10 on Cliff Central and The Real Network. Nice. Hey,
happy birthday.
Thank you. That's very good, McGill. Happy birthday.
Yes, sir.
She should start a club with Prince Harry, the whining and whinging club. Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of people who like whinging and whining.
Yeah, they are. I feel like the problem is people get notoriety for whining and crying. We reward bad behavior a bit too much these days.
So there's that old line that punctuality is the politeness of kings. And started with, I think, Louis the 14th, who was absolutely fastidious about manners, about what was acceptable and what wasn't. This is at the court of Versailles in the late 1600s, early 1700s. You know, everything had rules, like the way you walked, the way you ate, what you wore, the way you spoke. Everything had rules. And to him, the most polite thing he could do was, when invited to something, arrive on time. And he would always do that. Now, I don't know who this girl is. I'm sure that she is a lovely person in her spare time. I'm sure that she's got a couple of interesting observations about the world that I might not have encountered. But I wouldn't want to work with her.
No.
And if she came to me for a job, I would say to her, it's very nice to meet you and I wish you well, but no, it's not here.
You've wasted your time.
Vincent says it's laziness. I had to fire my younger brother and my cousin on the same damn day. They were just fucking late every fucking day. Family or not, they had to go. Easy. Now, Vincent, good for you.
Yep.
You're not going to tolerate that because you know what they'll do. They'll just pass on the irresponsible, undisciplined way of the world to your clients and then ruin your relationships with them.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Do you know what's interesting? If we were to flip this coin and say, well, your paycheck is going to be a little late this month.
Yeah, try that. Let's see how that goes. Yeah.
You know, these corporations, they just want to manipulate you all the time.
We work and then they don't pass on time. Mm. It's unfair.
Yeah, you see?
Right.
Only when it comes to shit that you care about, now all of a sudden things need to show up in a timely fashion.
If your boss is time blind and he just doesn't pay you this month.
Yeah, paycheck blind.
How's that going to go?
Mm.
All right. So It's the me attitude, says Silenificent. Causes everything to rotate around them. Shambucking is lacking in her life. Yeah, yeah. Silenificent, you're right.
There's a term, a phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Again, beatings. We've been talking a lot about beatings this week. We had an HR stroke psychologist woman on a Monday. Did you see her?
Yeah, I saw her.
And I said to her, what do you think about beatings? Like, shouldn't we? She's like, no, that's a very bad idea. Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, when you are these tiny little things,
yeah,
that's how I learned the difference between being unique and being special. Okay?
There we go.
My dad told me you are unique. You have to build to be special.
Bitcoin Butt says chops to Vincent for firing his family. Yeah, that's real. That guy lives the exactly the truth that he's putting out there.
Yeah.
Janine says my best is I am always late because I'm Portuguese. Well, that's a great excuse. Imagine if someone said I'm late because I'm black or I'm white. That's going to go well, right? Yeah. It's going to go beautifully.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's another thing I want you to see. This is a guy. You know, in America, they've got this huge, it's an epidemic at the moment of people stealing deliveries. Because what they do in America is they'll put your box from Amazon or Temu or whatever on your balcony or your porch, what they call it, outside your front door. And then that's where they deliver it to. And most people have these cameras in America on their doors. Well, people steal the packages. So I
think they
this,
call it DoorDash or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that. I saw a great video. I wasn't going to get this one, but I've got another one to show you. I saw one yesterday who the guy was, he stole the package and then he went around the corner and then the owner came around and grabbed him and he's a big guy.
Mm.
And he like says to him, put the package down and then he beats him. And it's like we talk about a beating. He beats him. And this guy like eventually has his teeth rearranged and he's let go of and the guy gets his package back. But this video, and I love this because the guy who thinks he's going to get away with stealing the package, that continues to be his thought until he sees this guy arrive. Just take a look at this clip.
I saw you when you got out the motherfucking car. You tried it. Put my shit back on this motherfucking porch. You know, lost your motherfucking mind. You come up on my shit and took my shit. You lucky. 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 You lucky
the way, because he doesn't know. Guy comes out with an AR-16. He's like, I'm gonna shoot your ass. bring that back. Listen. Bring that back, motherfucker. Put that down.
Listen, love I'm gonna it. Poke so many holes in you. It's not gonna be fun.
Fantastic.
You better put my package down.
Yeah, they call them porch pirates, according to Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
All right.
Such horrible behavior. Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Oh, I love it, man.
No, but like, it. I think we need so to all. Good. Well, if this ever happens in SA, well, we don't really have porches like that in SA, so it's not gonna be a real thing.
No, it's worth a try, though. Okay, there's one other thing quickly. Well, we don't have to rush, but here's a girl. She's a news reporter. She's trying to do her news report on the street, but because she's in a red dress and she's quite attractive, as the cars go by, they hoot. And she can't do her news report because they're hooting at her the whole time.
Yeah.
And she gets annoyed. But, like, she dressed like that and she's hot, and I'm sorry. Like, these guys are just showing appreciation.
Yeah.
But look at how annoyed she gets. Take a look at this.
Grow frustrated and... Alan Brown, WBRZ, Team 2 traffic. While they were removing... 2020... Jesus. Oh my God! While DOT...
I mean, I want to feel sorry for her, but I don't really. And you can see she's annoyed, but at the same time, she I think a part of her is like, yeah, thank God they noticed me. Because if you were, and she's in pretty good shape, and she looks like she's a fairly attractive woman, we can't see most of her, but we can see enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she's getting kudos from passing motorists.
Yeah.
Which is great. Wonder how many of our news reporters would get that. Probably not a lot, because if you watched the TV...
Not a lot.
People would try to drive into them.
No. Like, some of our reporters actually get mugged.
Right.
Live on TV.
So from a woman in the traffic getting hooted at to a woman in her car who's just had enough. Now, I thought, I especially got this clip for you, Jack, because I thought you'd sympathize with her. She's your kind of girl. She is ranting a little bit about the problems in society today. And she reckons that the source of all of our problems is this.
It should be good.
So all those nerds in high school, like the weird theater kids and the anime people and you know who I'm talking about, the people we didn't hang out with. So they've grown up now and they're the ones making the laws. They're the Mark Zuckerbergs. They're the Faucis of the world, the fucking nerds. Come on.
Okay, it goes on. I mean, I don't have to play the whole thing for you, but she goes on this tirade. She's like, these people who are running the world, who are making all these stupid rules, are telling us what to think and what to do. These are the nerds. She said, we got to stand up for ourselves.
Yeah.
And we got to throw these nerds out of office.
I love the fact that she said these were the people we didn't hang out with
at high school. And they're bitter and twisted and angry. And now they're taking it out on the rest of us and trying to control us.
It's the villain's origin story.
Correct.
That's what it is.
Yeah. So she says no more. We're not going to put on with that. Put up with that anymore.
Mm.
I would honk all day, says Naked Goose, at that woman. And not because of the girl, but because of the camera. Same reason I'd hoot near golf clubs. Oh, yeah. People love doing that, by the way.
Yeah.
The nerds in office, where? They're all over the place.
They really are.
In America, they are. And they're in business. They're the ones who are telling us that we have to wear a smartwatch that monitors our calorie intake and output. And like, these are people who are trying to get information about you the whole time, and they should stay the hell away.
Yeah. And, you know, like, when I think about it, at the end of the day, what the point that young lady was making is actually pretty true. Because while we were out doing all of the cool stuff that teenagers do, these little villains were in their bedroom putting together the Apple Mac and all of this other stuff and what. And then now we're surprised.
Now they made billions and they're telling us what to do.
Yeah, we can't be surprised that they decided to rule the world. I mean, and, you know, since technology has taken over, the people that come up with all of these things are the ones that lead us, whether you like it or not.
Correct.
But I will say this. While we were out doing all of that cool stuff and they were, you know, fiddling around with their gadgets and all of this stuff, we also got into a couple of fights. So if needs be, I know I can take a punch. I can also give one.
You're right. You're tough.
Yeah.
Right.
Resilient.
You learned some street smarts.
That's it.
Okay. So raising kids, something that comes up on the show all the time. We talk about how hard it is to be a parent, and I sympathize with parents, and also how shitty kids can be. but this is a photograph taken, I think, in the 1920s. But it's an amazing picture because it's a picture of, it's from 1955, actually. Hmm. It's a picture of Princess Ivan and Prince Alexander, I think of Yugoslavia, but European royalty. Prince Alexander's 12. And Princess Ivan is 13. Have a look at this picture. They're on a yacht. I mean, they're royals, okay? But this is how royals behaved in the 1950s.
Oy.
Check that out. The 12-year-old kid has a cigarette and some alcohol, and the 13-year-old princess, she's got the bottle of wine, and she's knocking it back. They both look very civilized to me.
Yeah. How deep do you think his voice was by the time he turned 15?
I don't know, but I like those kids already. I'm like, you know what? I like them.
Eh?
And I have a lot of time for their parents. Whoever their parents were, whichever king and queen were their parents, I'm a fan.
Mm.
Look at that kid. He's so chilled with that cigarette. He looks refined and distinguished and,
you know,
dignified. She's obviously knocking it back. She's probably become I don't know if she's still alive. I doubt it.
Mm.
But she probably became a terrible alcoholic, but at least she had some character and personality. So, you know what, parents, don't give yourself too hard a time. if your kids are smoking and drinking at 12 and 13, like the princess and prince over there. I mean, they're a prince and princess. Your kids aren't. Mm-hmm. So how can you set a higher standard than that for them?
Look at that.
And then I saw this, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. So in the 70s, like I was born in the 70s. I'm not embarrassed to admit the 70s were cool for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
One of the things that was not cool in the 70s, apparently parents were so horrible to their children in the 70s that they had to make a public service ad. They had to actually make an ad for TV in Kentucky in the U.S. in the 1970s to remind parents to hug their kids once in a while and not just shout at them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you think you grew up tough, imagine growing up in a country where the government actually makes an ad to remind parents to hug their kids. If you feel sorry for yourself this morning, you've had a rough start to the day. You know, maybe your husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend said something shitty to you this morning. You couldn't find the right thing to wear. You're feeling a little under the weather. It's freezing outside.
Mm.
Just be pleased that you weren't a kid in the 70s. Take a look at this.
I'm a wish for supper.
Can't you see that I'm on the phone?
Hold it down, I just got home. Isn't it enough that I work all day?
Least you get a chance to get away. Dishes, diapers, dirty rags.
Bosses, bills, and nag-nag. Shut up, kids, you're in the way.
I'm so mad I can slap your face.
Did I do something wrong?
Have you hugged your kid today? Did you send him on his way? With love, 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 love. She's a person just like you. She's got feelings too, so give her love. Love, 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 love. If you hug him for a while, it'll leave you with a smile. He'll know it's love, 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 love.
This message is brought to you by this station and the Kentucky Department for Human Resources in the interest of our children. By the way,
have you hugged your kid today?
Have you hugged your kid today? I love that. I mean, they have to remind parents, like, don't be a total asshole. Just remember to hug your kid today. So, again,
my goodness.
If you're a parent that feels that we have a go on this show at you and that we blame you for your shitty children, hug your kid today. Maybe that would be so bad.
Do you know what killed the duet of smack you in the face? Oh, man.
Yeah, that was your favorite part of it.
Oh, my goodness. So the mom was slapped with the left, the dad was slapped with the right.
I love the way
double contact.
I love the way you got someone sat in a. This is what I loved about like the advertising business in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
They were so practical and pragmatic. Someone sat in a meeting and they said, so we've got this budget. Now we've got to make an ad to get parents to be less shitty to their kids. Let's start the ad with a little girl going, Mommy, what's for supper? And the mother losing her shit with the kid.
Can you imagine
you
the storyboard?
You
got to
ask yourself what kind of a life that advertising executive had up to them.
Oh, my goodness.
How he was to his kids.
Yeah. Like, I imagine that office was filled with people that never got a single hug from their parents. They were like, you know what? This is the perfect way to storyboard the story. Like, I remember this one time I came downstairs and asked my mom what was for dinner. Yeah. This is what she said to me.
She shat on me. My dad made me smoke a packet of cigarettes at 13, says Raven. When he caught us smoking behind the water pump house, I was sick for days. It made me want to smoke even more. Massive fail.
Ooh.
Yeah, you see, he thought you'd go never again.
You'd go in the opposite direction. It didn't work. Yeah. Hey?
JP says there is a balance, though. Kids today get treated with oven mitts and look at the damn world now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, honestly speaking, that's what life is all about. You need to strike a balance between being a tyrant and being a loving parent. You have to.
Well, Bitcoin Butch says in the comments, maybe that's why family photos started showing smiles, because they never used to write. Family photos are all very serious. Everyone would be in the photo going, they didn't pull. You remember that movie, that thing, Something in the West with Charlize Theron and I can't remember what the hell it's called. Someone will know in the comment section. But that movie, they all pose for a photo and like the first person to ever smile is in one of those pictures. Because before that, people never smiled in pictures or portraits or whatever. So at some point, they must have thought, well, if we don't smile with these kids in the picture, they're going to think we're beating them the whole time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Jesus.
Ah, you know, but I mean, back in those days, they had some real problems. So caring about kids wasn't the priority.
100 Ways to Die in the West. Thank you very much. It's one of the best movies. There's this awesome scene where this guy is like, it's Gilbert Gottfried, you know, the one who shot, I'm President Lincoln. And he's standing there in that long stovepipe hat. And he's like charging people money, but he's like a fake President Lincoln. And they're all lining up to meet him and give him money. It's fantastic. By the way, just in case I hadn't told you already, I think I did, but we have a brand new sports show starting this week. And you must watch the socials to get the latest. They're recording it today. So you're going to have a brand new and fantastic sports show here on The Real Network. We'll tell you more about it. It's called On The Bounce, featuring our own Ben Karpinski, Sandile Shangase, and it's going to be jam-packed with good stuff. So if you're a sports fan, don't miss out on
that. Tune in.
Yes, absolutely. People had to smile. Oh, they didn't smile in the old days because they had bad teeth. That could be true.
Yeah.
But you can still smile without showing your teeth.
Yeah, you could.
You know? They didn't smile. They had these serious looks on their faces.
Because they had actual problems.
Yes, they had
real things to deal with.
Like the rinderpest and dysentery. They had genuine
problems to deal with. Like, what am I walking around smiling for? It's not such a great day after
I have to go out and I have to shoot my lunch.
Yeah. Yep. No. Squirrels, beware.
Yes.
Deer, beware.
Right. Today, what are you doing today, Dad? Same as I do every day, going to shoot our lunch.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to chop wood so that we don't freeze to death.
Yep.
That's what people had real purpose.
Real,
problem. Real problems.
We'll huddle around the radio just to find out what's happening in the rest of the world.
Who's the president? I don't know.
I don't know.
Now everyone cares about who the president is and they don't care about whether there's, you know, wood in the fire.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, every radio show would sound exactly the way you would expect, especially like I feel like in the 60s and the 70s, all of these people spoke the same way. Well, we're going to make sure that our, you know what I mean? It's like that's the only entertainment you literally had. So, yeah, stuff smiles, man.
All right. Well, it is 6:45, nice and early in the morning. And one of the few people I know who will be up early and who doesn't mind coming in early is Mornay Dupre. He is from travel.co.za, from Turvest Travel Services. He's the CEO. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that is going on with TTS. And I know they've been doing a lot behind the scenes that most of us who book on travel.co.za don't know about. But some of us do. And it's worth finding out about this stuff because this is what is happening in the travel business. And for anyone who travels, even if you're not aware of it, then you will know for sure that this is how it's happening behind the scenes, what actual technology goes into making all of this occur. So Mornay is here, and we're going to talk a little bit about Travel IT, which we've discussed once or twice before, but they're changing it now. It's called Travel IT Global. So how's it, Mornay?
Hey, Gareth Jax.
How are you?
Cool, man.
Early, hey?
Good to be here.
Nice and fresh.
I love the shades.
I dig the new space.
Lekker.
My first time looking at the new studio. Very cool.
Very cool. Yeah. Talk about cool. Those glasses.
Right?
Yeah.
Cheers, man. Cheers.
If you wear those, that filter, the yellow, makes everything look brighter and happier, right?
100%. So this green screen's green.
That's why I like it. Right. It's. I have a pair of glasses like that. I haven't got the balls to, maybe I'm just not cool enough to wear them. But I love the way it makes the world look.
Makes everything
a little happier and brighter. So if you're depressed, just get a pair of those glasses like Mornay's got. All right, so Travel IT, we know that this is the system that is the back end, the spine of what makes so much in the travel industry in South Africa work. You've got major businesses, business-to-business stuff, where they book using Travel IT, whether they're aware of it or not. People who are using Discovery, for example. This is the system behind the scenes that makes that work. And now you're calling it Travel IT Global. Why is this?
Look, I mean, Gareth, I think, you know, we've done really, really well in Sub-Saharan Africa using the tech and showing, you know, really good savings, really good compliance, a really good travel experience to all of our travelers on this side of the world. But it's time to start exporting it.
Uh-huh.
So that's the big thing. So we're looking at it and saying, okay, cool, you know, how do we take this to other places? Moving along, you know, we love in Africa and South Africa to to see ourselves as being subservient or,
yeah,
you know, us end of Africa, yeah, you know, yeah, a little place.
We're always borrowing other people's technology, exactly, coming up with very little of our own. This is something that works, that we know is a very good, tried and tested product. Now we're going to send it overseas and teach them a thing or two.
Exactly, exactly. So, nice. You know, I think that's the important thing. You know, I travel to a lot of these tech shows, tech events, deal with a lot of the international suppliers, and a lot of them supply, you know, complement our tech. And I must be honest with you, I haven't seen anything as good and as robust as ours. Of course, there's cool things there. There's a lot of good products out there. So not knocking all the competition. Yeah. But I think what we've built here is something unique and something really good. And I believe that we can show, you know, the rest of the world, and especially, you know, the we're going to the UK, as you know, soon, you know, just showing them how good we actually are. And if you think about, you know, South Africa being tech savvy, well, I think we must probably have one of the best tech minds being exported to the States. Yes, a little bit loony at times, Elon, but definitely one
did
of the best tech
him,
minds.
Did you see him, by the way, because I know you pay attention to what he's up to. Did you see him having a go at Apple?
Mm.
He's like, he's going to bring out his own phone because he doesn't like the fact that Apple is now using ChatGPT,
yeah,
and they're integrating it straight into their phones without, yep, our permission. And he's nervous about AI, right?
Yeah, of course, I think he is. I mean, I think he, you know, he was one of the pioneers of AI, if you really want to think about, yeah, that. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the way that PayPal was set up and the way that it worked, it was leagues above, you know, ahead of most times. Even the way that his vehicles are now supposed to be self-driving. Well, no, that's all AI-driven. Mm-hmm. So is he worried that someone's going to steal his thunder there a little bit?
I don't know. He has raised alarm bells because he said that what we've got to be careful of is that we don't want to let the AI start programming itself to the point where it actually makes decisions that are bad for humanity, because it could very well do that without trying to. So it's not evil, but if you say to it, solve the problem of, I don't know, global warming or overpopulation, you know, it's going to program something in there that's about killing people.
Yeah.
Even though it's not programmed to kill people, that is the best solution to a problem, if you don't consider all the different aspects that it might not. And I mean, he goes into how machine learning and particularly these large language models are actually, they could be very, very dangerous if they're allowed to operate without very specific rules. And we're still figuring out what those rules are. So I don't know. But I mean, Elon's a great example of, you know, the kind of thinking that originated here. He obviously doesn't have much to do with South Africa anymore. But I love the fact that we are developing absolutely intellectual property patented stuff in South Africa that we can then export to the rest of the world. You mentioned London. What's happening there?
So the travel technology show is happening at the TTE in London, at the convention center from the 19th to the 20th.
Also TTS, Travel Technology Show.
TTE, Travel Technology and Event Show. So it's,
okay,
you know, it's really, there's three events happening in one there. So I'm not, you know, I'm not going to bore you with all of those events, but, you know, focus on the one that's particularly for us is for the travel buyers, the travelers, the corporations, the TMCs out there, guys looking at new tech, me going to see what the other guys have to offer there to make sure we have to space there. But really it's showcasing tech to people interested in buying and using the experience.
By the way, one of the cool things about the travel IT technology that you guys have developed is that you can take care of expenses for people. And this is really good because a lot of people go on company travel. They go over for meetings, conferences, you know, trips that the company's paying for. And then they have to collect a whole bunch of receipts. They get a per diem, maybe. They've got to know what they're spending where. And that can be an absolute nightmare. This system also takes care of that.
100%. Fully integrated travel and entertainment procurement solution. So really what it is, you know, on the fly, I'm most probably one of the worst travelers. I go and spend and
you change, you know, your flights all the time.
Change my flights all the time. No. You know, you got to do things on the fly. So instead of, you know, coming home and trying to empty my backpack with all the receipts there and getting my PA to sift through them, not knowing what they are. You know, now I just take a photo at the point of time of paying.
Yeah.
I take a photo of you and say, listen, this is the person that I'm actually entertaining. So there is a little bit of proof. I upload it onto the Travel IT app at that point in time, send it for approval. Group CEO can approve it within 5 minutes of getting there. I mean, sometimes I do it while I'm on the flight because your Wi-Fi working quite well. And then the rule in our company is, you know, really, if you get your expenses in before Thursday, you'll get paid on a Saturday. So, it's, you know, it's quite a good way to manage your cash as well. You know, if you've
very
got,
good.
You're paying on your credit card and you're getting 45, 55 days free credit on there, and I can get my expenses returned within 3 or 4 days of the expense being incurred, I'm actually making money.
Mm.
Brilliant. Okay, so where in the world do you think that they're going to take up Travel IT Global? Where do you think they're going to start using it?
So we have an active customer, a global customer, operating in the UK already.
Mm-hmm.
So hence we're utilizing it or showcasing at the UK store. You know, there's good similarities out there. You know, the people are very similar to South Africans. Hell of a lot of South Africans there as well. But time zones aren't a challenge. The way that business operates there is very similar. The law is very similar. All of those type of things play into the South African space quite well. So I think it was a good area for us to kickstart it rather than anywhere else in Europe. Obviously, we're operating in Africa quite well.
Sure. Mm.
But I think, you know, it makes it quite easy for us to travel there as well. What is the beauty about that market? Although they've got less or more or less equal population, they've got about 6 times more travel spend than what South Africa has.
By the way, what is the global travel market worth? I mean, this is...
Look, it's a very interesting scenario at this point in time, but it's significant and growing. Depending on what stat you actually read there, it's, you know, it's all different ways. And I don't want to put out a number here and the guys hold me to it and say, well, you know, all of our budgets are going to be cut. But what it is doing, it's still growing. And it's going to continue growing. So, you know, you remember I was on the show a couple of years back when we had the COVID scenario.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, travel's never going to get back to where it was. And I said, well, no, it's actually going to be bigger.
You did. And you predicted that.
And if you go back to that, you know, it is going to grow on a continual basis.
Yeah, I mean, it only makes sense because we were locked in for a couple of months, close to a year, basically. So the moment you are set free, you run wild.
And that's what people want to spend their money on.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so hopefully we can go and encapsulate some of those billions and billions of dollars of travel spend that they're sitting out there. So, you know, if we look at the UK from our perspective, it is quite close to home. There's a number of South African companies that have moved in that direction very successfully.
Yeah, a couple of them listed on the London Stock Exchange too.
Correct, but just a springboard for us. But I think the critical thing for us, you know, what we've got to remember is we're trying to export our technology. The Tourist philosophy, new philosophy that we've got there is to say wherever we go, we're going global, but we're going to stay local. So we'll operate with the local people. So we're not coming here to say, listen, I'm moving into the UK.
Yeah.
I'm setting up a lot of TTS brands. I'm coming to eat your lunch. No, I'm going to give you technology to run your business proper, utilizing the expertise that we bring from South Africa.
I love it. Last time we had you on the show, though, you had just been to South America. And that looks like a hell of an exciting place. And I mean, there's so much going on there at the moment. They've got a new president in Argentina who's kicking ass. Javier Milei.
Yep.
Everybody's talking about him. He's got wild hair and he's just throwing out. He's cut the government down to, I think, a quarter of what it was before. So maybe he's setting a new trend. But that looked very cool. You did Brazil, Argentina?
Yeah. So Argentina and Brazil. And that's already starting to show fruits there. You know,
yeah.
So I don't want to, and you know, we're all under NDA, but we've already progressed reasonably well with both TMCs, two operators. And looking at some products there. So it definitely is a market that we will be in soon.
Nice.
So now I can say we will be in there.
Very good. That's exciting stuff. Remember to go to travel.co.za to make your dream holiday a reality. And Monet was also instrumental in helping us to put together the first time traveler experience, which we did 2 weeks ago. We took some people who had never been in a plane, never been in a hotel, gave them the weekend of their lives, and everybody seems to have enjoyed that tremendously, including some of your staff who'd never been. And, you know, if you work in a travel company, you just assume everybody in the company has been on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these guys had never, ever been on a plane before. They were so excited. It was fantastic.
You know, it's, Gary, it was really, really special. And I've got to say, you know, even still to, you know, yesterday, one of the cleaners that we sent there comes and hugs me every day because the experience is still so real for her.
Yeah.
You know, so...
she knows what you're selling.
Correct. Mm. You know, taking things for granted. I mean, I think I've been on more than 750 flights, stayed in more than 1,000 hotels around the globe. You know, and you just take it for granted. And then, you know, just eye-openers. And it's true. You know, you've traveled extensively. And my kids are their main aim is to say, listen, we're going to go and travel out there. I mean, they've been very fortunate that they've got a dad that's in travel. So I've opened their lives to the world. But they've studied reasonably, or they're studying reasonably good degrees here in order for them to make it possible to go and travel. So their first thing is, you know, bugger just wanted to go and earn the cash. I want to go and work overseas, travel there, experience the actual world, and I can always come back home.
Yeah, I mean, traveling opens up your mind. You get to understand different perspectives, different ways of life. It's the only way you grow. And we need to encourage people a lot more. In fact, travel needs to become a need, I think.
I mean, if you talk to people, millennials and Gen Z, so I suppose you fit into the millennials category.
Yes, yes, not Gen Z.
They would rather spend money on travel than own a house.
Hmm? Right? Gareth, I come from that era of yours, so we're in the 70s, so God forbid, we didn't have AI at that point in time, because we might have looked very different.
But they do. These kids,
food preparers,
they don't want to own a house or rent a property if they're going to stay in one place. They want to be traveling. They want to be moving around the world. They want to be working remotely from all these bizarre and interesting places. And you can see it. You just have to go and look at their social media. That's the dream. Mm-hmm. They want to travel all the time.
And I think the one thing that we mustn't forget is we must probably have one of the best countries from a travel perspective in the world. Every single time I come back and I walk on those South African colored flag tiles at Owatambo.
Yes.
Say, I'm so happy I'm home.
Me too.
And
love it.
If we can, you know, yes, let's export all of our shit there. Let's grab their money. Let's make sure that we show them how great they are, but make sure that we bring them here to come and experience
excellent.
Where we're from.
Just one last thing. Would you either of you use a phone if Elon brought out his own phone?
Would you
use that rather than Apple?
I would. Truthfully, I don't bet against Elon Musk. It's a bad bet. I would use it.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Jack. I think what he's creating there. Look, I love Apple, and Apple works. We know that it does.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe, you know, until you've actually made sure that the Elon phone is better, you know, it'll have that as a backup there, because we do know Apple works. But if you really think what he's done with Starlink and how he managed to get the U.S. government to put all of his satellites up there so that he can create the World Wide Web, and wherever we travel, his phone will be linked no matter where you are.
Yeah, imagine that.
Sounds bloody cool. Maybe, I mean, you know, is that really what we want? You know, how are we going to then become more dependent on this device in our hands?
I don't think it's possible for people to become more dependent than they already are. The only way that you can make them even more dependent is if you actually put it in their brain, which is another business he's got.
Yeah, yep.
So yes, genius, and I think, you know, hopefully he's got our travel apps on his phone at that point in time.
I love it. All right, thank you, Monet. Very nice to see you.
Thanks, guys.
Nice busy day ahead of us, and good to see Monet at the start of it. So just keeping us up to date with what's happening. The latest in travel and travel tech with Travel IT Global. Very exciting. I love the fact that we can export some of our best stuff to the rest of the world, not just the other way around.
And so get paid fully for it.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're not giving anything away for free.
So Bitcoin Butt says, Javier Milei is fun. But go and look at Nayib Bukele from El Salvador. I love this guy. Did you watch his interview? Who interviewed him the other day? I want to say Tucker Carlson, but I'm not sure. Anyway, this guy is absolutely fantastic.
You know,
fantastic. There's so many. How many politicians these days does anyone use the word fantastic?
Yeah.
To describe them. This guy's amazing.
You know, there was a time I thought there was a vacuum of leadership in the world. And then people like Nayib Bukele show up and you're like, you know what? There actually are people who stand on business, as the Gen Z say.
Yeah.
It's about getting shit right. And I commend that man. Like,
fantastic.
In 3 years to slash the basically the crime.
Oh, no, the crime
in that
rate
country.
Was, so, I mean, El Salvador was run by gangsters.
I mean.
And he built this prison. He just put them all in there.
Yeah.
If you have any link to the gangsters,
just
put you in jail. We'll get to your trial eventually. But you've basically put yourself in the firing line.
See what I mean?
I mean, if we did that, sure, that would be quite something, huh?
It would put all
those bad people away. So maybe think about that this morning. All right. It is the 12th of June. It is chilly, but it is not going to stop us. So we've got more for you just after 7. Don't go anywhere.